You are listening to T-Mac and Cookie Monster on the Radiant Culture Podcast. Engaging and exciting conversation on life, God, and pop culture. Every week on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Hi, guys. Welcome to another week of Radiant Culture. Today, we've got a very, very, very interesting topic that I think everybody has something to say about. And if you do have something to say about, don't forget, there's a comment section. Please do. We love reading them and then ignoring them. just joking. Just say, we love you all. We love you all. Anyway, we've got two fantastic guests with us this, well, whatever time of day you're listening to us. And I'm going to leave them. Wait. I have to say myself who I am, right? This is Biscuit, your friendly Biscuit.
In case you're wondering.
You know me, my fans. I love you all. And we've got Mr. Ken in the house.
Yeah, I'm back. I know you all don't really like it when I come because I'm the general. So it's like a coup again.
Yeah. What coup?
Spiritual coup.
It's a spiritual coup. But yeah, today's topic, we're actually going to be talking about, let's just say the title, which is it time to change the way we do church?
Yeah.
So I'll explain what that is in a minute, but I'm going to let our guests introduce themselves. Yeah. So guys, if you could tell us a little bit about yourselves, we can start on this side.
Sure.
Ladies first, take it away.
My name is Shamiso Bobo, that's spelled B-O-B-O. I'm from Methodist Greendale. I was born a Methodist, if there's such a thing. yeah, I don't know what else they didn't know about me. I'm a very outspoken person. I love to love. So I love love. I don't know if that makes sense.
That's really
yeah, so very good.
It's like I love God. I love love. You know, yeah, that's me.
Wow. Yeah. Very cool. So I am Craig, husband of one wife. You need to say that. It's important in Africa to say that. It is. You've really got to say that. I've got two beautiful daughters. One is 3 and a half. One is coming up to 2 years old. Born and bred in Zimbabwe. I work at a church called Harvest, assistant pastor there. And you love, love, and love God. Can't think of anything. I think what I'm most passionate about is seeing people make the most of their lives on earth. So seeing people who don't know the Lord come to faith and live for something that matters and with a relationship with the one who created them, and to see people who are Christ followers not waste the time that we have on earth, the limited time, and live for what can count for all eternity.
Wow, cool. Thank you very much, guys, for being on the show. So just in case you're wondering where the usual hosts are, T-Mac is in the U.S. Yeah, so she'll be coming back end of the month. And Cookie Monster is in Cape Town. He's at a conference there. So they'll be back. Don't worry. We just hijacked for just 2 weeks and they'll be back. Cool. So Biscuit, take it away, man.
Feel free to give the episodes we are hosting a 5-star rating to indicate that they are your preferred choice. But getting right into it.
I mean, before you ask that, is there a reason why you asked us to do the podcast in the 2 weeks where the real hosts aren't here? Were we like the last choice and you're saving the best and we're just the fillers? I mean, just so we know.
No, you're the highly esteemed elite ones.
Okay, perfect. Exactly. Perfect. Wow. Perfect.
That makes sense, right?
Exactly. This auspicious.
Thank you. We like titles.
Cool.
All right, so before we got into the show, we were kind of explaining what was happening. So for the benefit of the audience, we'll just go into that again.
Yeah.
The background. So this day and age, technology has been going on. The society has been changing. Lives have been changing. Everything's been happening. Time has been moving. And of course, the church cannot ignore that, but does not always need to move with that. That said, we should also analyze where we are coming from and whether that still applies to our mission. If we could say the church's overall mission is to disciple and to bring people to Christ. So is what we're doing still helping that, or is what we're doing now hindering that, or is there something we should be doing?
Yeah.
in terms of how we do church as a whole.
Yeah.
I think that kind of covers what we're talking about, right? All right. So maybe a good place to start is how we're doing things right now. Now, both of you guys are from two totally different ways of doing church, shall we say. So I'll start with you.
I'm tempted to say the others are methodical, the others are random.
Oh, random. Go for it.
there's you know, there's sense in both roots.
Exactly.
So can you say Shami? Shami's fine?
Shami.
Shami's fine.
So Shami, like, would you be able to tell us where your current, where the way you do service even came from?
Wow.
Why it's that way?
Well, there's like a head, right? Like, I should know this. I'm a PK. My gosh.
Translation: pastor's kid.
Pastor's kid.
There's like the central, like all the churches, like all the heads of all the churches districts get together, and then they decide on how they're going to like the titles for the Sunday services, like the calendar, basically.
Yeah.
And then from there, there's a general order of service. It's not set, but it's a guideline where, like, you start with obviously an opening prayer, you know, a song, and then you've got notices, then you've got another song, then you've got collection, then you've got a song, and then you've got the preacher, and then you have a song, and then, you know, service is over. So that, it's a guideline, but any preacher or reverend who comes up that day can change it.
Mm-hmm.
However, it is still very, you know, rigid.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the sense that, in comparison to, say, other churches or Pentecostal churches, they can have a whole hour of praise and worship prior. It's something that Orthodox churches don't really get into unless it's a specific, you know, like event.
Yeah.
Otherwise, on a normal Sunday, there's no like hour of just worship.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually one or two songs. Then, you know, they get into it. So that's basically it. There's an order, we follow that. Whoever is preaching kind of uses that as a guideline, and that's the way it's been for years.
Which is not necessarily bad. Exactly. I suppose it's analyzing the impact that it's having for Christ.
I think sometimes I know it's gonna be completely awkward because everybody else probably would expect me to take on the role of, no, this is the way it should be done, it's been done for centuries, and this is what we're gonna do. I actually think differently. I think there's a part of me that really acknowledges the fact that this is the way it was done, and it has worked. It worked then, and there's no reason it shouldn't work now. However, the in terms of the structure.
Mm-hmm.
However, when it comes to the spiritual side of things, we could tweak a few things. You know what I mean? We could tweak a few things in terms of like worship. Because the number of minutes we spend as a congregation in worship is not substantial for me.
Okay.
So I find it that I get home on a Sunday and I'm listening to worship music on like on TV the whole day.
You want to supplement.
Like, just to kind of like supplement on the worship. Even word sometimes, because we also have that set, you know, if you're preaching, you know, about 30 minutes, you know, of talk time.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it's you know, and then you've got other churches where they do the whole day as the Spirit leads or whatever, you know, happens in other churches.
Yeah.
But I feel like when it comes to, it's a method that works, but when it comes to the actual need of our spirits and our souls, I think we need to pick up the pace a little.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. I guess it's a case of deciding whether if it's working, don't break it.
Yeah.
Or do you improve even if it's working?
Okay, so we should ask Craig, why did he break it?
Why did I break that system? I'll start off by saying it was Wesley Hay who founded me, and I think amazing. So I'm not there to bat it at all. I think we would really try and aim. Harvest is in the middle of a transition, so there were people who'd been leading it for 18 years, retired, and then I came on to help in that transition process. And I suppose my heart in it is to say, how can we take people on that journey, as you shared at the beginning, Biscuit, on meeting Christ, giving their lives to him, but then not staying there and actually growing. Yeah. Because I suppose that's going to be a lot of our debate as we go forward. So we would still have structure. You know, we're usually done in an hour and a half, and that's us. And if it goes to 2 hours, people start to want to leave. You know, but that's part of the problem with white people. You know, we operate on timing, and it's very important to us, which sometimes it shouldn't be. Uh-huh. So we would have our structure in the openness to God doing other things. So we'll do notices, we'll have music, and we will have a talk and time for open prayer. But we try to have structure in that to honor people and honor people's timing. But also, structure actually provides for freedom. So,
that's interesting.
You know, so if you just have freedom for the sake of it, then a lot of the times it can be ineffective freedom. And if you look at God and how the world operates, it's not chaotic. Mm-hmm. And so structure is incredibly important. Mm-hmm. It's important to God. Mm-hmm. So he suddenly does things that we don't expect. And we want to be open to that, to someone suddenly being healed. And we had a lady 2 weeks ago healed of cancer. Amazing. Wow. Doctors' reports and everything. Wow. And we prayed and God did it. And we're like, Lord, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we operate within a structure. And I'm always trying to balance word and spirit, truth and being relevant, and keeping the message of the gospel the same, because that never changes. Mm-hmm. But looking at how do we present that in a changing culture.
Okay.
So it's always going to be a learning curve and a lesson, and we're trying to play with those areas.
Yeah. It's actually something we were actually discussing on the previous episode, and we actually came to the conclusion that, you know, church should be like Coca-Cola. I mean, Coca-Cola is the same, but it's presented in a different way. Sometimes in a bottle and sometimes in a can or in a fountain or whatever.
But taste is still the same.
It's still Coca-Cola.
Yeah, so true.
And Jesus is Jesus. He can never change.
Correct. You
know, Jesus at this church should be Jesus at at other church.
Yeah. And I suppose the gauge for each of us in how we're doing it, as I said, is, are we seeing genuine life change? Because it isn't all about the numbers. We'll talk about that as well.
Yeah.
But we should be seeing people's lives change. If they're meeting Jesus, we should be seeing new people come to faith and people who've been Christians for a long time growing in their faith. Yeah. And we should always be looking and assessing that.
I think you said something important when you said relevance. And then you also touched a little bit on it when you said numbers.
Yeah.
I think I find it problematic when the word has to have a bow on top.
Mm, correct.
To kind of like a marketing scheme to get people to show up.
Exactly.
I
find that problematic.
Okay.
Because it means the way we've been doing things is not working to convict the next person.
Okay.
Or our methods, or how we, I don't want to say the word, because the word is the word.
Yeah.
It is constant.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be in the way we want to tell the word, but live our lives, or the way that we package the word and present it to somebody else. And it's also in the way that we are failing. I think the church in general, whether, you know, whatever denomination, is failing to get to the core of the issue because of structure. Interesting twist coming from a Methodist. But I think we're failing to get to the core of the actual reason. When we're now talking about numbers and how many people are coming and how that's just a result of what is already, you know, what already took place, rather.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because if, I don't know how to say this, but if we have to get into a place where we're motivating people to listen to the word. There's something that's lacking in our deliverance or in the way we present ourselves as God lovers.
Okay. Mm,
true.
That is affecting somebody else, or that is failing to reach the actual core of an individual. So relevance, the word is always relevant.
Mm.
I think the word is always relevant, no matter what, to an alcoholic, to whether they want to change or not.
Mm-hmm.
The word should always just, you know, and I believe is very relevant.
Timeless.
Yeah. Mm. But when it comes to, you know, our expectations as individuals onto, you know, other people in terms of how they're supposed to then present themselves or show up at church every Sunday for an hour, it's the right thing to do. And if you do that, that's not, you know, that's not the way to go or whatever.
I can't remember the last time I wore a tie to church.
Wow, yeah. Really?
Scary.
Yeah, which is
I actively avoid it. No, seriously, Ken, when was the last time? You know how many years? I can't not stand it.
People come in shorts to us.
Wow, that is
even the music team. Now that's scary, yeah?
Yeah, that is.
I think you gotta look sharp.
Because of my background, if I was a guy, I'd probably be wearing a tie all the time for church. But as a girl, I have church clothes.
Church clothes.
Church clothes. Nice. Literally. And my mom would make sure at my tender age, she would make sure that whatever it is that I'm wearing is presentable to the congregation, whether I am preaching there, whether I am singing, whether I'm doing anything, even if I'm just attending. There's a certain, you know, that's what I feel has taken, like, it's taking things a little too, we're focusing more on the religious side of Christianity than the actual, you know, following Christ part of Christianity.
Okay. Very good.
So from what you're saying, you actually have led us into our next section, which is, okay, so we've got these ways that we've already described of how we do church. And already, you've already picked up on something that you're saying that maybe it's time we really look at how we're doing church, how we are delivering the message, how we are structuring this church service, because you kind of feel like we're not getting to the core of what we're meant to be doing or what we're meant to be achieving as a church, which is, you know, helping people grow, you know, making disciples, because that's the core mandate of the church, to make disciples. You know, people come to salvation and then they grow spiritually in their knowledge of God. So currently, with the way we're structured and the different structures that we've already described, is it effective? Are we actually effectively helping people grow? If not, what needs to change?
Mm.
Wow.
Very good.
That's a tall order.
I think, do you want to go?
No, I was going to add a little something to that and just say, I guess what we're asking is, yes, people are coming to both variations and all the other variations that they are. They're coming and they're sitting through the whole service, be it a whole day or 1 hour.
Yeah.
They're sitting through it. Is anything going in with the way it's being
done? With the way it's being done.
That's
true.
The only question, Or are they just walking out and coming next Sunday?
Hmm. Pretty much, are people just coming to church to be entertained?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we just have to look at Zimbabwe, that's apparently 80% Christian.
Exactly. Yeah.
Apparently. And apparently. And I say apparently because the country wouldn't be like it is. If that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say the stats are probably closer to 20%, if that. I think if you go back to early church, early biblical church, I think a huge amount of it was doing life together.
Okay.
In the mess of life, walking with each other through difficult financial decisions, marriage issues, and actually being in the know and rubbing shoulders with each other, with our sin, with our mess, and growing together.
Yeah.
And I think in the speed that the world now operates, the amount that we're connected to technology and the system of church currently, it's almost like a checklist where, great, I've gone on Sunday, I attended small group on Wednesday, I served on this team, perfect, ideal Christ follower.
And I tweeted about it.
Yes, and I tweeted about it as well, and I took a picture of the and then we're missing the point where being a disciple is following Christ.
Yeah.
And so I think it's possible to have a large church and to do things well and to advertise well. And it's possible that people can grow and they can they can grow through that, provided there's a very strong focus on community, on walking together, on really making our lives look like Christ. And that becomes harder the larger a church becomes. Mm-hmm. But I think what I would like to see change in my church and others in Harare is the real iron sharpens iron. We're in this to look like Christ. We're seeing things in our friends' lives that aren't right. We're challenging each other with a heart of love, mm-hmm. like what you said, to say we want to be a light to the world. Mm. We want to shine brightly. Mm. And that's going to bring people to Christ. And let's help each other do that. And that takes time. It takes being in each other's homes. It's costly because we love being individual. Mm-hmm. We don't like putting ourselves out. And so it's a cost. And so often we don't want that cost because it interferes with our life. But if we saw the benefit that Christ could bring through the sacrifice with each other, I think we'd see massive change.
Can I slightly challenge that or question?
Definitely.
Maybe it's not so much that the churches aren't doing what they should be doing. It's or that iron is not sharpening iron. It's maybe we're still sharpening it the same way, and it changed. The iron itself is not exactly the same iron that it used to be.
Maybe whatever we're sharpening with is blunt.
Maybe.
Yep.
Because you could say, you're right, it takes a lot of time to build that community, and I'm 100% on that, that community should be where it's all about, that camaraderie, that being in each other, not maybe in each other's business too much, but being in each other's lives.
In each other's business.
Yeah. Yes. Definitely. We need to be in each other's business. Yeah.
It's vital. And it's not like yonks ago where you could, Zimbabwe used to have a very strong culture of visiting people, just visiting each other.
Just dropping in.
Just dropping in. Yeah. Irritating. Yeah. They may stay for a month, but they've dropped in. That has gone because of changes, because of cars, because of electricity, because of many factors that have just changed the way we live our lives.
Because of WhatsApp. I'm not there.
So,
even if you are there.
So the community now is different. Yes, there's cell groups. Yes, there's home group. But now there's WhatsApp groups.
Mm.
And the question is, are we still trying to engage people the same way when it's not, it might be foreign to us, but they're now engaged in a different way?
Mm. I think, I hear what you're saying. And I feel like the way we communicate the message, like we've got lots of outlets, like you said, we've got lots of social media stuff, we've got podcasts that I can listen to when I'm like cooking or whatever at home, right? Those help tremendously.
Mm.
And they also destroy tremendously.
Yeah.
Why I agree. Say so is the time that I am spending cooking, I can also listen to something.
Yeah.
That has, I can also be on app, texting people in groups, in individuals, whatever, right? It has cultivated in me a culture of multitasking, which is good and bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I can do everything, but I can only master one or two. There's no way I'm going to give my full attention to everything at the same time, always.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
However, with the younger generation, that's normal.
It's all they know.
That's all they know. Yeah. It's normal to talk to your parents and be on app and still text the person and still say, yeah, okay, mom, and I'm going to do it or whatever. Like, it makes sense to them.
Yeah.
To the older generation, my mom would say, put your phone down, I'm talking.
Yeah.
Then I'll be like, okay, sorry, then I'll have to listen to her, then say, okay. Then she'll say, go do it now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then I have to leave my phone and I feel like my life has just been ripped apart. And then I go and do whatever I have to do and come back. And then, I believe that it destroys us because it cultivates in us that doing everything but mastering nothing.
Mm.
Meaning we're limited to the 140 characters on Twitter mm-hmm. to say our opinions. Anything more than that, it's too much for me to take in and scroll through 1,000 friends' posts and things like that at the same time and, excuse me,
quite famous having thousands of friends.
Well, you only know about like 50 of them. Yeah. But like going through that notion that our attention span uh-huh. is being limited as well yeah. through technology.
Yeah.
Meaning if I post a whole paragraph on Facebook uh-huh. of how I'm feeling about churches and this as that, my friends will probably read 3-4 sentences of it. Someone will comment, LOL, you know,
yeah.
or someone will comment, like, and then that's it. They don't really need to read the rest of it. Mm-hmm. Or if I post a 10-second video, and I'm like, guys, I think the church should do this, and then, full stop, send it. Someone might be like, okay, this is interesting. And then before you know it, the whole thread is got lots of people commenting on it. It's limiting our ability to take time and actually invest ourselves into things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we've got so many other options. So options are good, but they're also distractive.
Mm.
So I think I would lean more to the taking the time aspect of it. I try this. It's very difficult
mm-hmm.
for me to put on my podcast and listen to, say, TD Jakes
mm-hmm.
without doing anything else.
Wow.
I can't go on Twitter, I can't go on Instagram, I can't go on anything else. The phone allows me to do that.
Yeah.
So generally I would do that. But just putting it down and listening to his sermon, he's talking about this. Just shut everything out, put your earphones in and listen. That's difficult.
So hard.
Yeah. It's so hard to do.
Yeah.
And yet, we come from people that would take us to church, we sit for an hour and we listen. No phones, no, and we never even used to use our phone as a Bible. We used to use the actual pages of a Bible yeah. and flip
which we need
through.
To bring back.
Yeah,
bring back the paper.
I think we need to bring that because sometimes it removes from your concentration.
Yeah,
when you know you've got, I can simply say I'm reading the Bible, but I can just respond to this text that just came in. Let me just, you know, it's so easy to do that. So I think I'm leaning more to, you know.
And then how do we listen to the still small voice
if we're
with all that noise? You're right. How do we drown out the noise to really get clarity on what the Lord's saying to us, what our husbands or wives are saying to us,
exactly.
what our friends are saying to us?
Because what I'm getting is that people may be coming to church and sitting in service, but actually not really benefiting from what's happening. Because the attention span now is just so limited.
Yeah.
Actually, saw an article on Relevant Magazine where they were talking about how millennials have discovered the art of how to make your messenger app look like you version. So it looks like you're reading the Bible in the service, but you're actually
just
you're
to trick everyone.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So with like skins and stuff, you just, you know, make it look like it's the Bible app, but it's a messenger.
You can do that at work too. Anyway, I've had that.
I mean, I would come on the other side of saying we're really in the inevitable of technology.
Yeah.
It's not going away and it's only going to grow.
Yeah.
So we have a call as Christ followers, as people involved in church, to say either we're going to embrace the good and use this tool to as a point of entry that to reach people that we would never reach otherwise, to pull them into face-to-face relationship, or we're going to say, actually, it's just too dangerous, it's too confusing, and we're going to push it away. And I swing between both sides. Sometimes I'm like, I'm going to turn off my phone for a week. Yeah. And then I suddenly go, I think I'm too addicted. And I think the truth is we're all addicted.
Yeah.
We don't know we are. But if we genuinely tried to operate for not even a week, one day with our phone switched off, I think we would want to look at it all
when
the time.
When my battery runs out, I'm relieved. That's a problem.
Mm.
Like when my battery runs out, I'll be like, oh, okay. I don't have battery anymore. But I feel more comfortable. Yeah. I feel like I can engage in what's actually happening
exactly.
because my phone is off. It's, I feel like I'm more to, you know, everything in moderation.
Yeah.
Mm. Which is biblical.
Yes. But at the same time, we need to go
well,
back
not
to
everything in moderation, yeah. but you know what I mean. You know what I mean, like healthy things in moderation.
I think what
exactly.
matters
healthy things in moderation.
I think what matters is where we're, you know, like we don't know what matters anymore.
Yeah.
And I think in spite of all the things that are there, like all the apps or the whatever, you know, the noise, it's important for us to go back to what matters. And I think if we're going to make a positive impact in the communities we live in, or the families we are from, or schools, or whatever, we need to go back to the basics of an actual relationship.
Mm.
Which, yes, technology can be an entry point,
yeah,
but everything in moderation. Almost everything in moderation. It's an entry point. Yes, I can text. I can send a Bible verse. I can do this.
Yeah.
I can also send dirty jokes. I can also, you know.
Yeah.
So in moderation, it will be, okay, I can app you or I can be online. I can do all of this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we should value human interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it, the rate at which we're going, in 20 years... I don't think we will need to actually see each other.
Yeah.
We won't.
We'll have holograms.
Yeah.
We'll just pop up as a hologram.
Yeah. I've got a best friend who's in San Francisco. I speak to her every day. If she lands today, she will know what I did and what I had for breakfast. You know?
Yeah.
If I land there today, I will know everything and everybody. I will be like, oh, that's that's this. You know what I mean? Because we're constantly FaceTiming, we're constantly like, you know, that human interaction, the idea of holding her hand is becoming a concept that's like, oh, you know, when it happens, it'll happen. But it's not, but which is important, because when you look at somebody, when you hug somebody, your body language, the way you smile, the way you react when they speak, the small things that your face does when you are acknowledging that they have done a great thing is important for another human being to acknowledge or to recognize, because it's that feeling that they'll remember from the whole conversation or from the whole experience. Which I think only comes back to us when we take the time to actually have personal relationships with people.
And I think I agree. And they just so many levels that you can go with on all of this.
Yeah.
I have a friend, a good friend of mine. Well, one of them is around the twins.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I kind of look at them as though they're one person. Maybe a bad thing. But... friends for since grade 3 we've been friends, but we've mostly been in different parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So were it not for similar things, FaceTime, Facebook, technology, all of that, that relationship would have deteriorated. If we used the old system of things, it would have deteriorated years ago. So much like you and your friend, it's not like we don't have a relationship. It's a strong, very deep
and
relationship.
The technology actually helps
maintaining it. And yes, the physical, like actually being in the same space cannot be replaced. I don't think that can ever really be replaced. But there's the side of it that without the technology, the relationship probably would have died as well.
Mm.
And I think there are other relationships with people who we don't know. Let's say we were talking earlier about maybe like T.D. Jakes or something. I don't have a relationship with him. But then because of technology, I can hear, I can see, I can engage. My church has streams, the Sunday morning service. And before you go there, that's definitely another problem where someone might say, hey, why do I need to go to church?
Yeah.
That's definitely a problem that will be there. But I've had scenarios where I've called a friend and said, hey, where you at? I didn't see your church today. And said, I was really sick, but I streamed the service and I was able to watch it from home.
Great benefit.
So I'm saying, okay, look, there's both sides.
Yeah.
And
sense.
Moderation, I think, is very important. Are we moderating? Are we actually using all these tools, though? Are we offering these things for those who use them?
And I suppose it's the Lord is sovereign over technology, and he'll bring his gospel through it, which is so exciting. So, you know, it's easier than ever to reach unreached people groups with Bibles on flash drives, with, you know, the way that we can get the truth of the gospel out is just so much easier with technology. We're seeing people at Harvest who find us on Google, get in touch with us on Facebook, and we've got automated messenger responses, and then I'll get to them. And then we're seeing them come to church and then respond and say, hey, I visited a church. I didn't fill in a card. But I would love to find out about small groups. And you can find this point of connection prior to face-to-face, managing church teams with WhatsApp groups. And there's massive benefit, incredible benefit for the gospel to move forward. And I think you're right. It's just managing that, and it's monitoring it, and making sure that it's not the only thing that we care about. We want to see both. We want to see real friendship and community. We want to see the digital world that we live in marry the two together for the greatest good for the Lord.
So I think let's get to that, because what I'm getting is that it kind of seems like the way we did church before is kind of like gold, in the sense that it fosters a sense of community, deeper relationships, and it was structured that way because I guess some of the technology that we have now wasn't there. So it allowed them to have church structure that way, and it kind of feels like maybe it's not something that we may need to break, but maybe to improve on. But now, how do we then get people, number one, to appreciate the old style, the current style of, you know, the way church is structured, and also how do we then also add on the benefits of technology without breaking it, without breaking this current style, but actually improving it. I guess that's where the challenge is, because you have people, because of technology, who have short time spans. So to some people, they'll tell you that, look, a 40-minute sermon is just going to be too much for me. You know, and but then how do you get that person to appreciate the value of a 40-minute sermon? Or do you then now adapt and say, okay, we're going to do it in bite-sized chunks and do 5-minute little, because they're the Twitter generation, so they're limited to 140 characters. So if you go beyond that,
it's gone.
It's gone.
I think education is important. It's important to educate people on the benefits as well as the disadvantages, because we all got into this without knowing. You know what I mean? We just thought it was the cool thing to do to have a cell phone. It started off with a microwave, for Pete's sake. It was like, you know, a microwave, instant, ding, then you have your food. So we all thought we're doing the right thing. But apparently, if you stand in front of a microwave and, you know, this and that, it does this to your ovaries or blah, 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 radiation, this, things that we had no idea. You know, same thing with cell phones. They say if you sleep with your phone next to your bed or some radiation thing or, you know. Education is important. We got into this and we're already in it. But we need to stop and actually analyze. Conversations like this assist. I think it's important for people to have the pros and cons of it all before. For example, let's say I have a child. She's probably 13. She's asking for a cell phone. I will say, listen, this is it. Okay? Once you get into this world, you're going to have this phone. You're going to have this. You're going to want the latest phones. You're going to want the latest apps. You're going to want this. These apps get you to do this. These ones do this. These ones, you know, you will probably, you can teach me, right? About most of the stuff that's coming out. However, it's important to teach her that the what, you know, what matters. Okay. At the end of the day, IT, garbage in, garbage out. You know, so if you spend most of your time, we all have 24 hours. If you spend most of your time just scrolling through Facebook, you will have nothing to say in a conversation, because all you will say is, oh, did you guys see this happened and Beyonce this? And that's all you will have. So that's all you'll be able to produce. Hence, if you take your time and use the same application to read the Bible or to communicate something positive to somebody else or to encourage somebody else who's going through a tough time, things you will reap more. So education is important. The same thing that can help you is the same thing that can break you. So that education has to be provided to those that are just being born. And, you know, these kids have phones at 5 and they'll tell you, I want a tablet. What's a tablet? Oh, I want to play games. What kind of games? SpongeBob and this and that. Why? We used to play with stones and sticks and stuff outside.
Yeah, exactly.
And it made sense to us. But what makes sense to these kids is a cell phone. And some parents actually find it easier when a child is screaming to just hand them a cell phone.
It is so much easier.
Extremely easy.
It's extremely easy. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Because at the end of the day, you need your sanity to be able to work and provide for this child who is screaming and you can't sleep. Mm. And if they want to play whatever game they want to play, listen, take the cell phone 1 hour and then you give me back my cell phone and you go to bed. That whole hour of a child's mind that is developing is going to know everything about the iPhone before, you know, before you do, the owner who has the money to buy it.
One thing that I'll just give on the tech side of church that I've been thinking through and also I've been sharing is, you know, on the positive side, when you look at a church website, social media, Facebook, it's the one thing that a church has that's open 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
So, for instance, we're at a high school and people can actually come to the church for an hour and a half on Sunday. Mm-hmm. They could come to our offices 8 to 5. Mm-hmm. But if as a church you see technology as something that can reach people and people can find you 24 hours a day, it's of huge benefit. Mm-hmm. So if you treat your website as saying, well, this is open 24 hours a day and we want, when people look on it, we want them to be impacted by Jesus and they can look at our Facebook and look at our Instagram and those sorts of things 24 hours a day, may not be healthy that they're on 24 hours a day, but as a church, if you look at the benefits of technology, you can now take advantage of hours in the day and times in the day that you never would have been able to before.
Yeah.
So it's just something to think on as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And while you're at it, Craig, what do you think about how we then balance between, you know, making the church attractive enough for people to engage and actually then, you know, consume the substance of what we're delivering as a church, the core message of the church, and, you know, getting them hooked on, and they actually then focus on the things that we're using to attract them and not actually focusing on Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah.
They see how do we balance that?
Yeah. Rather than the message
they'll see the large screens, they'll see the lights, but
how do they get and that's maybe what you said before, is I think if we see everything that we do through the lens of Christ, if we are putting through what we preach and how we speak to people and the email that we're sending on MailChimp and the picture with the verse that we're posting on Instagram, if we look through all of it saying, Lord Jesus, we want everything that we do to speak of you. Mm-hmm. We want every little thing from our personal connections at church to the way that we preach to how we do community to how we do social media. We want every aspect to be you. Then I think God's obviously going to work, if he's speaking through it. So I would say that the key one is really resting on him, is really asking him for wisdom and just saying, Lord, this is the world we live in. We want balance, as you said. We want to honor you in the process, but we want to reach as many people as we can for the gospel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And please show us how to do it, because we will definitely get it wrong and we'll definitely get addicted. And we'll, you know, if we without your help, we're going to fail because we can't do anything in our own strength. Yeah. And
I think it's important you had said prior, like in your introduction of yourself, you said that you aspire to get people to live their best lives.
Mm.
I think that is very important. The quality is always above the quantity.
Definitely.
I think the quality is important. So that's why I'm also very big on, like I said, relationships.
Yeah.
Getting to know somebody, because in that relationship, will someone be able to say, listen, I've got this problem and I don't know how to, you know, and then it becomes, you know, something that we can rely on to actually continue to push the message, to continue to make sure that every person around us is living their best life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Interesting discussion. We can go on and on and on. But yeah, we have to bring it to a close now. And yeah, just Biscuits, you've got something quick to say.
Well, I don't know. As people change, we need to keep up with the way they change. But we have to remember that God, Jesus, is constant.
Yeah.
That is not changing. Yeah. And if we can find a way to deliver that same message, whichever way people are hearing it now, then let us do it.
Yeah.
But with wisdom, of course, because we can be corrupted by the root as well. Okay. I'd like to think that if the second coming happened tomorrow, I feel like Jesus would open a Twitter account. Maybe
amen Instagram to
that. And say, hey, I'm here.
Follow him that way.
Guys, let's go.
You know what his first tweet would be? Come, follow me.
like. Cool. But we really do need to think about the heart behind it, because it is so easy to get lost in technology. I have my Bible on my phone. My pastors really don't like that, but I've got both. And I listen to an audio Bible like all day, and even just leave it playing when I sleep sometimes. It's kind of entertaining. Yeah. And I've got music playing all the time, but that does not always mean I'm paying attention. Mm. That doesn't really mean it's sinking in. Mm. That doesn't mean I'm changing at all. So that technology, great, but we need to find a way of putting relationship into that. And I think that's what we're hearing mostly today. But let's have our guests give their last words.
Not too much from me. I just want to say the reason we're in this podcast is because you guys at Radiant Culture are trying to utilize technology for the gospel. So I want to say well done. And I think it's something that you're sort of the front runners in Zimbabwe, as it were, and I pray it grows and we do more. And otherwise, to everyone listening, I would just say, keep Jesus the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. And keep asking him for wisdom. And he'll lead. And he'll direct. And we just want to see people changed.
Great.
I would say, no matter what happens, or no matter which side you're on, whether you're from an Orthodox church or a Pentecostal church, whether you believe in technology assisting or not, I think it's important to know why you do what you do.
So good.
And it's important to know who you are and whose you are. So at the end of the day, anything can come and go. Just have that space, even if it's 5 minutes, even if it's 10, even if it's an hour, to you know, reverence God. Whether it's in song, whether it's in a small prayer, whether it's in, because that's, you know, that's the relationship. Whether it's 5 minutes a day or it's 2 hours a day, that's your relationship. Don't stop cultivating your relationship with God.
So good.
That's great. Yeah. So, and for me, the thing that I'm getting the most here is that it's not necessarily the way we do church. It's pretty much the way we are approaching things and the perspective that we have. If our focus is on Jesus, no matter if we're going to not have any bands or whatever, I will still find the edification in whatever we do as a community. And even if we throw in technology there, if my focus is Jesus, I will still benefit. So it comes down to the individual. It's not about us really changing the structure. We can change it. We can put, you know, but there'll still be, if my heart's not right and if my focus is not right, I'm still not going to get the benefit. Thank you very much, guys. It's been awesome.
Thank you so much.
I will definitely have you guys back.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
It's been good, guys. From Kent, that's all.
From the biscuit, you can take a bite again next week.
We out.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast.
If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot, it's fresh, it's uncut. Hashtag Real Talk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.